الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We have a number of different issues remaining with regards to zakat, different issues, and we discuss them this evening, seeking the aid and the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. The first one, mainly with regards to those masarif thamaniya and masarif thamaniya, each one of them is going to be given the amount that will remove his need and take care of his need, and he will not be given more. Yani the one who is poor, he will be given that will suffice him, and the one who is needy likewise, and the one who is a worker, he'll be given according to his efforts. And likewise, the mu'allafa qulubuhum, and in order to unite their hearts, so on and so forth, they'll be given that which is needed in order to obtain that objective. And likewise, the one who is in debt, he'll be given enough to pay his debt. And this is sufficient, and he will not be given more. So each one, he'll be given according to his need. According to his need, and he will not be given more. Likewise, those who are fighting in the path of Allah, and likewise, yani the one who is the wayfarer. Each one of these different categories, the amount that he will receive, yani is the amount that will remove his need and suffice him, and nothing more. Likewise, with regards to these eight categories, four of them, they are given the wealth, and then after that, they are not taken into account. And they will own that absolutely. Four categories of those eight categories, once they receive the zakat, then the responsibility is upon them entirely, and they will never have to return. They will never have to return the money or return the zakat, in any situation. And that is the fuqara and the masakin. And al-amiluna alayha wal-mu'allafa qulubuhum. So these four here, yani they will, once they receive the zakat, then the obligation has been performed, and the responsibility of that is over. And now it's in the hands of those individuals. And the people will not look to where they spent the wealth and the likes like this. And they will not have to give it back in any circumstance. الفقراء والمساكين والعاملون عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم. These four categories here, يعني يعطون هؤلاء يعطون بدون مراعاة, يعني بعد ذلك, without any observation after that. And then there's four categories from them likewise, the remaining four, and they are given, يعني بالمراعاة, they'll be given, but they're going to be responsible for using that zakat money in the avenue that they were given the zakat for. And if they fail to do that, they'll be required to pay that back. And if they fail to do that, they'll be required to pay that back. And that which remains are al-gharimun, wal-riqab, wa-fi sabilillahi, wa-bin al-sabil, wa-bin al-sabil. So these here, yani yu'tawna bil-mura'at, that they are going to be given from the zakat, but it's incumbent upon them to spend that money that they receive from the zakat in the avenue that they deserve the zakat for. And if it's found out that they did not do that, then they will owe that, and they must pay that. And they'll be required to pay that back. They need to return the money if they did not pay for that. And it's somebody who was given zakat for a debt, and then come to find out he took the money and did not pay the debt, he will be asked to give the money back, and he'll be required to do that. He'll be required to do that. Likewise, somebody who was given money to free a slave, and he didn't free the slave. It's spent in this avenue. The money is in order to, the zakat is for freeing slaves, and he didn't free the slave, for example. Or the zakat was for in the path of Allah. He's given this individual, he deserves the money for the path of Allah, and for his weapons and for his wealth and for his needs, and in that path. And then he did not use it in that path. Now this money or the zakat will be taken back, and this person will be held accountable. And likewise, the wayfarer. So these people here, if they use the zakat in the manner that they deserve it, then alhamdulillah, then they have done that which is obligatory. But if they took that zakat and did not spend it properly, then they will be held accountable for that, and it could be taken back from them. And that wealth could be taken back from them. So now we see what's the difference between these two categories. So now that the eight of them, they're split in two, four and four. The difference between the two is the first category. The intent from the zakat had been fulfilled by giving them the money. The intent for giving the poor and the needy, and the intent for giving the worker, and likewise the uniting the hearts, the mu'allafa, then that objective is obtained by giving them the zakat. What is intended with regards to the poor and the needy is that they are given that which will suffice them, and that will take them out of that state of being needy and poor. So by giving them the zakat, the obligation is fulfilled. So now the obligation is fulfilled, and the requirement and the aim and the goal of the zakat has been obtained. So after that, this issue is closed. And likewise, the one who's working and he deserves a salary, by giving him that salary, the objective of the zakat has been obtained. And likewise, uniting the hearts, the one who's given for this purpose here, by simply giving him that zakat and him obtaining that, then the objective of the zakat has been fulfilled. But as for the one who takes a debt, he receives the zakat in order to pay a debt, and he did not pay it. The objective of the zakat is not fulfilled. The objective of the zakat and the purpose and the reason why he received the money in the first place was not obtained. It's not obtained, and he used it in another avenue. So therefore, he's responsible for that, and the money can be taken back. He can be held accountable and required to pay that back. And the same issue with regards to freeing the slave. So somebody has the money to free the slave and did not free the slave. Yani, and the likes like this. The objective is not fulfilled except by using the money in that avenue. Fi sabilillahi, likewise, and also Ibn Sabil, yani the wayfarer, and the likes like this. So here, these people, if they are not using the money in the manner that they deserved or that they were qualified to receive it by, the money can be requested, and they could be required to pay it back. They will be held accountable, and Allah knows best. Likewise, with regards to this issue, we have seen as well that the four of them from these eight categories, four of them likewise can receive the zakat while they are considered wealthy. Four of them can receive zakat while they are considered wealthy, and they are al-ghazi, wal-amil, wal-gharim fi islahi bayn al-nas, wal-mu'allafa qulubuhum. So these are the four that it's allowed for them to receive the zakat while they are considered wealthy. Yani ma'al-ghina, and that is al-ghazi fi sabilillahi, the soldier who's fighting in the path of Allah. Yani with under the leadership of the qualified with the qualified and respected Muslim ruler. And the second one is al-amil, the one who works in that path. The one who's working in that path. Yani the one who works for the ruler, and he's working in the collection or the distribution of the zakat. Even if he himself was wealthy, he'll be paid according to his work and to his efforts. He'll be given a salary for that. And likewise, al-gharim fi islahi bayn al-nas, and the one who has taken a debt in order to rectify the circumstances and situations and to bring reconciliation between two groups of people. This one, even if he's wealthy, has allowed for him to receive from the zakat. And also al-mu'allafa qulubuhum, those people who we want to soften their hearts and bring them close and tighten or strengthen the relationship between us and them. Even if they're wealthy, it's allowed to give them as well. So these are four categories from those eight that it's allowed for them to receive the wealth, along with the fact that they're considered wealthy. The next issue that we discuss is this: إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ فِي شَخْصٍ وَاحِدٍ سَبَبًا. إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ فِي شَخْصٍ وَاحِدٍ سَبَبًا لِأَخْذِ الزَّكَاةِ. If there's two reasons in one person for him to obtain the zakat, and if two reasons are gathered in one individual, and he has two different reasons why he deserves the zakat, he'll be given both of them. He'll be given from the zakat for both of them. For example, somebody, he himself is poor. He's considered faqir or miskin. He's needy. He's needy and he has a debt. So he's miskin wa gharim. He's miskin, he's poor. He does not have what he needs to suffice him and his family. And on along with that, he's in debt. So therefore, this individual, he can be given from the zakat two times. One time to pay his debt and the other time to suffice his needs. All of this is from the beauty of Al-Islam and the care and the perfection of the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the perfection of the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the poor person who is in debt, he'll be given once for his debt to suffice that and to pay that back, and another time for his poverty. And this is allowed. Alhamdulillah. The next issue to discuss is that it is recommended استحباب صرف الزكاة للأقارب المحتاجين الذين لا تلزمهم نفقتهم That is recommended, is something that's recommended, to give the zakat to a person's relatives, those who it's not an obligation for him to spend on them. It's recommended for a person to give his zakat, his obligatory charity, to his own relatives. And from those relatives, that it's not an obligation for him to spend on them. Like, for example, his brother or his sister, or for example, his aunt or his uncle and the likes like this. It's not an obligation for a person to spend on his brother. It's not an obligation for a person to spend on his aunt. This is not an obligation upon an individual. If he did that, alhamdulillah, from his kindness and charity, this is good. But it's not an obligation. So if a person to give his relatives and the likes like this from his account, then this is something that is recommended, and that would take precedence over others before them. And again, this is for those relatives that it's not an obligation for that person to spend on them. As for the one whom it's an obligation to spend on them, we'll see that they're from those who are not, it's not allowed to pay zakat to them. And this is going to come next, inshallah. So it has been collected by An-Nasa'i, rahimahullah, from the hadith of Salman ibn Amir, radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ صَدَقَةَ عَلَى الْمِسْكِينَ صَدَقَةٌ وَعَلَى ذِي الرَّحِمِ إِثْنَتَانِ صَدَقَةٌ وَوَصِيلًا صَدَقَةٌ وَصِيلًا. So to give charity to the poor person, this is considered giving charity. You need to pray to perform the obligatory zakat and give it to a poor person. This is considered a sadaqah, a charity. Yani he's fulfilling that obligation, he's getting a reward for that. And to give the zakat to a relative is two, ithnatani. Yani two good deeds. Yani hasanatain. Yani hasanatain, ithnatani. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sadaqatun wasila. It's a means of giving the charity, and you have a reward for giving the charity, and you have a reward for keeping the ties of relatives likewise. So this is as well something that is recommended. And this is the case whenever those relatives, of course, they're from the eight categories. They're from one of the eight categories. Not any relative. The only one who can receive it are these eight categories. So if somebody's relatives, that it's not an obligation for him to spend on them, was qualified and from one of these eight categories, then it's recommended for him to distribute his zakat to them. Now we discuss the issue at asnaf, الَّذِينَ لَا يَسِحُّ دَفْعُ الزَّكَاةِ إِلَيْهِمْ. Yani the categories of people who it's not allowed to give them zakat. And before we discuss the categories of whom it's allowed to give them zakat, those people who are qualified to receive the zakat, now we discuss individuals, different categories, that it's not allowed, it's not proper, it's not allowed to give them the zakat. The first one, al-kufar, illa al-mu'allafa qulubuhum. It's not allowed, it's not correct, it will not be accepted if a person, he gave his zakat to a disbeliever, except in the case of those who were trying to unite their hearts, and that has proceeded. The details of that has proceeded. So in general, it's not allowed to give the disbelievers in this manner. And in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu to al-Yemen. And in that narration, which is the first narration the author he mentioned in the book, we read it inshallah soon, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَأَعْلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ So the people of knowledge here, they paid great detail for to the wording of this narration, and specifically with the pronouns, yani with the dhamair. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, tell them, yani when you go to them, the people in Yemen, from what he was ordered to inform them, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an obligatory charity upon them that is taken from their wealthy and given to their poor. So the people of Nahr, as I mentioned, from their wealthy, من أغنيائهم فتردوا على فقرائهم من فقرائهم يعني من فقراء أنفسهم من المسلمين وتردوا على فقرائهم أي من المسلمين. So him, yani from them, from their, that this charity is taken from their wealthy, yani from amongst them, meaning from the believers, from the Muslims, and is distributed amongst their poor, not the poor of others. And so here, فقرائهم, this is the shahid for this affair, and the proof for one of the proofs for this. It's not allowed to give it to the disbelievers, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered for it to be distributed amongst their poor, meaning that from the Muslims, meaning from the Muslims. أي أغنياء المسلمين وفقراءهم. أي يعني أغنياء المسلمين وفقراءهم. And this is what is intended. Likewise, it has been mentioned by Ibn al-Munzir. Ibn al-Munzir, he died in the year 318. He has a very beneficial work. It's called Al-Ijma'. It's called Al-Ijma'. And he's from the early scholars. So this book is one volume, but it's a collection of what he has reached him from the consensus of the scholars of his day. And it's very beneficial. And it's arranged in the order of Al-Bawab al-Fiqhiyyah. So we have the chapter of Salat, the chapter of Zakat, like this. The chapter, you go to the chapter of Zakat, and we'll find وَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَى كَذَا وَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَى كَذَا وَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَى كَذَا, like this. And he has collected a number of these affairs. So in this particular work, he says وَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَى أَنَّهُ لَا يُعْطَى مِنْ زَكَاتِ الْمَالِ أَحَدٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الذِّمَّةِ. And there is a consensus, the scholars have a consensus that no one from the people of a dhimma, meaning from the disbelievers who are living under the rule of the Muslims, the disbelievers who are living under the rule and the protection and under contract with the Muslims. With the Muslims, it's not allowed to give them a zakat. It's not allowed to give any of them the zakat, zakat al-mal. Zakat al-mal, there's a consensus about this. And likewise, Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, he died in the year 620. He says, لَا نَعْلَمُ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ خِلَافًا فِي أَنَّ زَكَاتِ الْأَمْوَالِ لَا تُعْطَى لِكَافِرٍ. He says, we do not know any difference of opinion amongst the people of knowledge that the zakat of the money, the zakat on the wealth, is not given to a disbeliever and nor to a slave. And nor to a slave. So, therefore, we have the evidence here from the sunnah and likewise from the ijma', and likewise from the ijma', the consensus of the scholars. So, with regards to establishing evidence, then the proofs are established by the Quran and by the sunnah and by Al-Ijma' and also Al-Qiyas al-Sahih. Also Al-Qiyas al-Sahih. This is from the Anwa' al-Adilla, from the types of evidences. And even first and foremost, the Quran, Al-Kareem. And then likewise, after that, Al-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah. And you mean, after that, in this order. But they're both established, the evidences, in the same manner. And then Al-Ijma'. Al-Ijma' is the consensus of the scholars. And the Ijma' is something that is based upon the evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. Of the Quran and the Sunnah, and likewise Al-Qiyas Al-Sahih. Al-Qiyas, making the proper analogy with all of its conditions, as well as Qiyas, is also going to be based upon the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. So this is from the means of establishing rulings. So here, this is the case here. There is an ijma' with regards to that, a consensus from the people of knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لَن تَجْتَمِعْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةَ عَلَى الضَّلَالَةِ, that this ummah will never be united upon misguidance. So this is from the evidence of the fact that Al-Ijma' is the consensus, is considered a type of evidence and proof. That if the scholars, not the ummah, not the layman, the scholars, the people of knowledge, they have a consensus and agreement about something, then this is considered a type of evidence. So this is the case, or this is what we're discussing now. So Ibn Qudama, he says, we know no difference of opinion from the people of knowledge that the zakat of the wealth is not given to a disbeliever nor to a slave. So that leads us to the next issue, and that is the slave, al-mamluk. Al-mamluk, likewise, he's not given the zakat. And لأن مال al-mamluk لسيده. The slave, if there was a slave, he could not be given from the zakat, because his property and his own and everything, and he belongs, him and his wealth belongs to to his master. To his master. So it's not allowed to give a slave the zakat. It's allowed to free slaves. We've seen that, right? It's allowed to free slaves with the zakat. It's allowed to him to give him the money to free himself, but not to give it to him to own it, because he does not own anything. Because he does not own anything. So if, for example, a man, he had a slave and he gave his zakat to a slave, it's like he's protecting his own money. Because it's like he's giving it to himself. It's like he's giving it to himself. He's protecting his own money. Instead of giving his money away, he's putting it in his own hands, because he's giving it to somebody that belongs to him. And then this is the case here. So then he's going, it's really his money. It's really his money. So this is a type, could be a type of hila. Yahmi biha malahu, that he'll protect his wealth by way of. So this is not allowed. In any case, there's a consensus here likewise with regards to this. The third category, it's not allowed to give them zakat. Alu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they're the ones who it's not allowed to give them zakat. And the people of knowledge, they differed about this, and who they are. Banu Hashim, no doubt. But is Banu al-Muttalib also included? Allah knows best. And this is what is mentioned here. So it's not allowed to give the family of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zakat until this day. Until this day. It has been narrated by Abdul Muttalib ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna sadaqata la tanbaghi li Ali Muhammadin, innama hiya awsakh an-nas." It's corrected by Imam Muslim, that the zakat is not allowed for the family of Muhammad, and indeed it's only the filth of the people. Yani, that means for them to purify their wealth. Their wealth. Likewise, it's been narrated by Muawiyah ibn Hayda radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "La yihillu li Ali Muhammadin minha shay." He was referring to the zakat. "La yihillu li Ali Muhammadin minha shay'un." That nothing from the zakat is allowed for the family of Muhammad. For the family of Muhammad. This is corrected by Abu Dawood, and the narration is authentic. So likewise, this is a category that's not allowed for them to receive the zakat. Also, following from that, Mawadi Ali Muhammad. Mawadi Ali Muhammad, yani urtaqa'ahum. The free slaves of the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it has been narrated by Abi Rafi' radiallahu anhu, who himself is a free slave. He was a free slave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a man who was going to work in the avenue of collecting and distributing the zakat. And he told Abu Rafi', he said, "Come with me, let's go. If you go with me, you're going to get some money likewise. And you can work with me, and you'll receive from the zakat." And then, so Abu Rafi' radiallahu anhu, he went back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before engaging in that and asking him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Mawali al-qawmi min anfusihim, wa inna la tihillu lana as-sadaqa." He said, "The free slaves of a people, they're from themselves." And he meaning, "Hukmuhum hukmahum." Hukmu al-mawari, hukmu man ataquhum. So the one who freed a slave, that free slave is like his. They have a relationship now. It's called a wilaya. It's called wilaya al-itq. Yani the wilaya of freeing slaves. So even the inheritance will be included in the likes of this issue. Yani that he would inherit from him now. Likewise. But the point is that a person, if he had a slave and he freed his slave, then he's from him. And their bond is very close. And the lineage that they have is close, similar to the lineage of blood and the likes like this. But it's not exactly the same, but it's similar. And that's what is intended here. That the free slaves of a people, they're from them. And meaning they have the ruling of those people. So therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "And as for us, it's not allowed for us to take charity." And he said, "Since me and my family cannot take charity, and you're from our free slaves, and you take the ruling of our family, you cannot take charity likewise." That's the meaning of the narration. So this is the fourth category. So far we had four. What are they? The first one, who cannot receive zakat? Al-Kufar. And we've seen the only exception in that was Mu'allafa Qulubuhum. And that was within the details that preceded. And the second one is the Mamluk, this one who is a slave. And the third one and the fourth one, the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the freed slaves of his family sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taib, the fifth one, Al-Aghniya bimadin aw bikasbin. Al-Aghniya bimadin aw bikasb. Those who are considered wealthy by way of having possession of the wealth, or by way of earning. And there's an ijma' with regards to this likewise. A consensus with regards to this likewise. So the one who's considered wealthy, The one who's considered wealthy, either by him having the money in his hand or by having the ability to get the money, it's not allowed to give him zakat. It's not allowed to give him zakat. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned about al-ghina. Ma huwa al-ghina? Or ma farqu bayna al-ghani wal-faqir? We talked about this before. Ma haddu al-ghina? Ma haddu al-ghina? What is the dividing line? What is the dividing line to determine the one who is having wealth and the one who's considered in need? The one who's considered in need. Who remembers? Al-kifaya. Ahsanta. Al-kifaya. Wallahu a'lam al-kifaya. If he has enough for what suffices him. Any for 1 year. Any for 1 year. Or in that time. Any for 1 year in general. Any like this. He has what he has his needs met. He has his needs met. Somebody who has his needs met, he's considered ghani. It's not allowed for him to take. It's not allowed for him to take the zakat. It's not allowed for him to take the zakat. As for if he did not have his needs met, then he's considered either faqir or miskin according to how severe his need may be. According to how severe his need may be. So the ghina will be either by having the money in his possession, and he has the money in his possession, either in his bank account or in his home. He has the wealth that will suffice him, and he's not in need. And because he has the money in his possession, this is one way of having the money, or having the ghina, or having the wealth. Or he has the ability to earn the wealth. He has the ability to earn the wealth. Al-kudra al-kasb. So either if he has the money, and he wajid al-mal, and he haqiqatan, this is very clear. But likewise, if he has the ability to earn the money as well, he's healthy, he's strong, and he knows a trade, for example, in the likes like this, and or he's able to work, then likewise, he's considered ghani as well. He's considered ghani as well. We understand this part here. And he's able to work, and he's able to make a living. For example, he has a particular trade. He's able to get enough to take care of his bills monthly. He has a particular trade, or a particular job, or where he has a particular salary coming in from one aspect or another, that covers him and his needs for the month. This person here is considered ghani. He's considered ghani. So either he will have the money in his hand, or he will be working in the likes like this, and he will have a monthly pay coming in that covers him and covers all of his bills and covers all of his needs and the likes like this, then this one he's considered ghani. Or he has, for example, a workshop. Maybe, for example, he's a mechanic, or he knows a particular trade, or he knows electricity, or he knows carpeting, or he has another job and the likes like this, and he makes monthly his needs. His needs are met, and he's not struggling, and the likes like this. Then he's considered ghani. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned that there are mawani that could prohibit this person here. The mawani that could prohibit this person. Maybe he has the ability to make money. Maybe he's strong. Maybe he's knowledgeable. Maybe he has a trade. But there are things that could prohibit him, that could prohibit him along with that. So now he will still be considered faqir, even though originally he's ghani, because of the mawani. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the mawani here, there are thalatha. Mawani, any of the things that will prohibit him from any being able to obtain his needs. From able to obtain or fulfill his needs. The first one is al-mani al-tabi'i, and then there is al-mani al-adi, and then there is al-mani al-shar'i. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned, for example, maybe somebody, he has a job or he has a trade, and he knows how to work and he makes money, but there is something, yani mani al-tabi'iyun yamna'uhu min al-kasb. And for example, he becomes sick. So now this is something that happened to him. He became very sick and he's not able to work, say, for a month. Maybe he had an operation. Maybe he has a trade. He's able to work. But something happened to him. He became sick. And now he's not able to work. So now he's considered miskin or faqir. So now it will be allowed for him to take the zakat. We understand the point that we're trying to make now. Any the person who's ghani. How is he going to be ghani? Either he's going to have the money in his hand, or he has the ability to make the money. But then there are some things with regards to this person that maybe would prohibit him from being able to have his needs met. So although he meets the qualification, there's something that could stop that. And so that would allow him to take the zakat, would allow him to take the zakat. Maybe he, again, he has a trade, maybe he has a job, and the likes like this, but then something happens to him, he gets sick. So therefore he can't work for a week, 2 weeks, he falls behind. Now he doesn't have his needs to be met. So now he can take from the zakat. Or any of the people of Nadas, they mentioned Al-Mani Al-Adi, any happens from the, in the Ad, in the customs of the people. Maybe, for example, he has a particular workshop, he's a mechanic, but something happens and the workshop got closed. The government did some inspection and they closed his workshop for whatever the reason may be. So now, although he has a trade, although he has a business, he's not able to work. So now suddenly, along with this ability, and along with this strength, along with this knowledge, along with this workshop, he's not able to make a dollar. So now he's considered faqir if he falls into need. And if his shop is closed down, and then he falls into need, and he can't take care of his stuff, now he's allowed to take the zakat. Or even if a person is in a particular society, sometimes certain governments, if you go to particular countries, sometimes, and you have a visa there, then they will give you a visa that will not allow you to work. Or there will be restrictions in particular governments that only allow certain individuals to work in certain fields. So maybe a person, he has a trade and he's able to make money, but in that particular society or that particular government will not allow him to work under that trade. So now, along with the fact that he's qawiyyun muktasib, it's like it's nothing. It's like it's not existence, because now he can't use it. So now he falls in the category of being faqir or miskin. Faqir or miskin. We understand that? Like this. And then also after that, they mention al-mani' al-shar'i, the legislative thing that will prohibit somebody who's strong and healthy from earning a living, and that is talabul ilm al-shar'i, the one who is seeking knowledge, the one who has dedicated himself to seeking knowledge. So although he's strong and healthy, the fact that he's dedicated himself now in this manner, and he's busy and has preoccupied him, he's not able to earn a living, it's allowed for him likewise, if he's in need, to take from the zakat. So this is with regards to that. With regards to those who it's not allowed to take the zakat. Also from them is, that was the fifth one, huh? Also from them, al-mar'a al-faqira allati tahta ghaniyan yunfiqu alayha. Al-mar'a al-faqira allati tahta ghaniyan yunfiqu alayha. A poor woman, that is under the guardianship of a wealthy man who spends on her. A woman who's considered poor, she doesn't have any, she doesn't own the wealth and the likes like this, but she's under the guardianship of a man who's wealthy and spends on her. So the people of Nadas, they say kifayatuha hasiratun min an-nafaqa al-wajiba min az-zawj. That kifaya to her, that which she needs and that which is there, that which will suffice her, is obtained by her husband spending on her. So in reality, she's not in need. Her husband is spending on her, and she's covered. Maybe if you look at her from her own aspect, she does not have the money. But her husband is covering her, and her husband is taking care of her, and her husband is spending on her, and her needs are met. So therefore, it's not allowed to give her zakat. It will not be allowed for her to say, oh, I'm poor. I don't have the nisab of this, or I don't have any money, or so on and so forth. But her husband spends on her and suffices her. So therefore, it's not allowed. It's not allowed to give her zakat. And likewise, anybody else as well that receives their wealth from somebody else, and somebody else spends on them, or it's an obligation for somebody else to spend on them, or somebody else is spending on them, and the likes like this, is not allowed for them to take the money likewise. For example, a child, a son or a daughter, for example, if you look at him, his situation is similar to the mother. Maybe they're poor, and they don't have any money. But their father spends on them. Their father feeds them and clothes them and provides their housing for them and takes care of them and the likes like this. So it would not be allowed to give one of them likewise from the zakat. We understand that. You understand that? Okay, this is an important point. Likewise, now we discuss about who is this? She's the woman who's poor. Who? She's under the guardianship of a ghani. Who? Who spends on her? What if there's a woman? She's under the authority of a wealthy man who doesn't spend on her. who doesn't spend on her. Huh? What do we say about this one? The people of knowledge, they differed about this one. But Shaykh ibn Baz, he was right. He was asked about this, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And so now the issue is a poor woman, and a woman, she doesn't have her needs met, and she has a husband, but her husband, she has a husband, and her husband is wealthy, but he does not give her her right. He doesn't spend on her. He doesn't spend on her any and sufficing her in her needs. When we say spending on her, we say spending on her meaning fulfilling her needs, taking care of her needs and her food and her drink and her clothing and her housing. Her food and her drink and her clothing and her housing and the likes like this. So she has a husband, but he does not take care of those needs. So would he be allowed to give her from the zakat? In this situation, this is the issue. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he was asked by this, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So he said, rahimahullah, in kanat fakhiratan, wa zawjuha la yunfiqu alayha, wa ajaztum an islahi halihi, wa lam yatayassar man yalzamuhu bidhalika, fa'innahu yujuzu i'ta'uha min zakati qadra hajatiha. Qadra hajatiha. So Shaykh Ibn Baz, he was asked about this, rahimahullah, and he said that if she's poor and her husband does not spend on her, and you are not able to rectify this person, meaning it will not be something that will be given right away to her, rather first you try to rectify that man, meaning by advising him and admonishing him and trying to direct him and the likes like this, reprimanding him. He said if you're not able to rectify him, and you try to advise him and you try to admonish him, and none of this is working, and also it's not easy, you can't find anybody that will force him to do it, and you're not able to go for example to a Muslim judge who will force him and he to spend on his wife and to give her rights as needed, and none of this has worked, and there's no way except this, he said, then it's allowed to give her from the zakat according to her need, and Allah knows best, and Allah knows best. So the seventh one, or the seventh category, it's not allowed to give them the zakat. Likewise, man talzamuhu nafaqatuhu, the one who it's an obligation for him to spend on them. Somebody who is under his guardianship and authority, and it's an obligation for him to spend on them. It's not allowed for him to give them his zakat. And there are different categories. For example, the mother and the father. It's an obligation for a man to spend on his mother and father if they're in need, and to take care of them. So the fact that he gave his mother and father, it's like he's protecting his wealth. And it's like with his zakat, he's getting out of that obligation. He's going around that obligation and just saving his money, because it's an obligation for him to spend on them already. And then he's going to give his obligatory zakat to them likewise. So it's like he's going around the obligation. And he's cheating in this manner. He's protecting his money. Instead of having to pay the obligation of zakat and pay the obligation of taking care of his mother and father, now he does it all at once. Right? He's getting around one of these obligations in this manner like this, and protecting his money in this manner. It's not allowed. So those whom it's obligatory to spend upon them, يعني من تلزمه نفقته هم أنواع. They're different categories. The first one, the people of knowledge, they mentioned al-usul wa in alaw. The usul meaning the parents, even if they go up, meaning the parents and the grandparents and the likes like this, and it's not allowed to give them zakat. So a person, he has to take care of his parents and their parents likewise, like this, if they're alive. And if they're needy, it's an obligation for a believer, if he's able to, if he himself has the money to take care of them and to spend on them. So therefore, it's not allowed to give them zakat. So this is what is intended by al-usul. Al-usul wa in alaw. Meaning the parents, even if they go up. Meaning the mom and the dad, the grandma, the grandpa, the great grandma, the great grandpa, like this, that's what is intended. Huh? And also al-furu' wa in nazalu. The furu' meaning the children, even if they go down, meaning the children and the children's children and the children's children, like this. It's not allowed to give the zakat to the children, nor to the children's children, because it's an obligation for the father to spend on his children. It's an obligation for the father to spend on his children, and likewise on his children's children, and the likes like this. This is something that is incumbent upon a person. So by giving them zakat, and by giving them his obligatory charity, it's like he's getting around that obligation. He's saving his money. He's protecting his money. You understand the reason why you can't give them. because the zakat is an obligation, and to spend on these people is a separate obligation. So by giving one obligation to this other obligation, it's like he's getting around, and he's protecting his money in this manner, by giving his zakat to these family members. You understand this? By giving his zakat to these family members, he's getting away from spending on them. He's getting away and he's dodging the obligation of spending on them. Instead of spending on them, here, just take my zakat. Like this. So now he's getting out of that obligation. He's getting out of that obligation and protecting his money in this manner with the great obligation of zakat. The third pillar of Islam. So therefore it's not allowed. Ibn Mundhir, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَى أَنَّ زَكَاةَ لَا يَجُوزُوا دَفْعُهَا إِلَى الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْوَالِدِ فِي الْحَالِ الَّتِي يُجْبَرُوا الدَّافِعُ إِلَيْهِمْ عَلَى النَّفَقَةِ عَلَيْهِمْ. So also they have a consensus as well with regards to the fact that it's not allowed for a person to give the zakat to his parents nor to his child in the circumstance or situation whenever he would be obliged. Yani he will be coerced or made, he will be forced to spend upon them. Yani in the situation where it's an obligation for him to spend upon them. Yani it's an obligation in a situation where there's a person, it's an obligation for him to spend on them. And if he didn't spend on them, they can take him to the Muslim ruler and he'll force him to spend on them. So this type of person here, it's not allowed to give them zakat. And there's a consensus about that. So it's as if he's paying his zakat to himself. It's as if he's paying his zakat to himself. So long as it's an obligation for him to spend on them, it's not allowed to give them the zakat. You understand that? It will not be considered correct to give them the zakat. It will not be considered correct to give them the zakat. There's an exception to this rule. Yani it's not necessarily an exception if we understand this principle. What is the principle? It's not allowed to give them the zakat so long as it's an obligation to spend on them. So long as it's an obligation to spend on them. So there is one exception to this this surah of this masala, and that is if the reason for giving them the zakat is Dain. The debt. Because it's not an obligation for a child to pay his father's debt. And it's not an obligation for a man to pay his child's debt. The debt is not an obligation for him to pay. If the father goes in debt, it's not an obligation for the child to pay his debt. If the child goes in debt, it's not an obligation for the father to pay his child's debt. So the one, if the reason for giving them the zakat, the mother or the father or the children and the likes like this was to pay a debt, it's allowed. It's allowed so long as they didn't take the debt in order, yani, to suffice their obligatory needs. If the reason why he took the debt was to fulfill that obligatory spending, now it's not allowed. For example, a father, he went into debt. Why did he go into debt? In order to spend on his family. So now it would not be allowed for the child to pay the debt of his father, because that was in order for him to spend on him. So that would not be allowed. We understand. If the father took a debt in order to spend on his son and his family and to take care of the obligatory needs, now it will not be allowed for the child to pay back the father's debt. But as for if the debt was for something else, not related to the obligation of spending on him himself, it will be allowed to give the father the zakat in this particular circumstance, and Allah knows best. There's a difference between doing something voluntarily and doing something as an obligation. So what we're discussing now is the issue of zakat. So when would it be considered zakat? And when is it lawful, yani, and proper to perform it as zakat? And he asked for other than that, no doubt, paying the debts of the believers in general is praiseworthy and a great means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal, and the debts of the family members even better, yani, even more recommended. So we were just discussing number 7, huh? Number 7, which was man talzamuhu nafaqatuhu. So far we took two types, the parents and then the children. The third type, from those whose it's obligatory to spend on, is the zawja, the wife. So Ibn Mundhir, likewise, he mentioned the consensus here as well. وَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَى أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَا يُعْطِي زَوْجَتَهُ مِنَ الزَّكَاةِ لِأَنَّ نَفَقَتُهُ عَلَيْهِ وَهِيَ غَنِيَةٌ بِغِنَاهِ. And likewise, there's a consensus as well that it's not allowed for a man to give his wife his zakat because it's an obligation for him to spend on her. And she is considered sufficed with his provision. So as well, this would be considered a means of protecting his own money, like he's giving it to himself, because it's an obligation for him to spend on her. It's already an obligation for him to spend on her. So the fact that he gave her her zakat now, so now he's getting away of one of the two obligations. He's protecting his money in this manner. It's not allowed. It's not allowed, and it will not be accepted, except in the case that was mentioned previously as well. And that was in the case of if the reason for giving her the zakat is for the debt. Sheikh Uthaymeen, he mentioned this, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that if she has a debt and she's not able to pay it, then it's allowed for him to give his wife a zakat in order for her to pay her debt. Because it's not an obligation for the husband to pay the debt of the wife. It's an obligation for him to spend on her and for him to suffice her and her needs, but it's not an obligation for him to pay her debts. So therefore, if the reason why he gave his wife the zakat is for her to pay her debt, then this is allowed. Again, unless she went into debt because he did not take care of her, for example, and then he's paying back something that was an obligation for him in the first place. Now, that would not be considered. That would not be considered, and Allah knows best. Now we have a zawj. We had the zawj, the wife. What about the zawj? Is it allowed for a woman to give the husband? Is it allowed for the woman to give the husband the zakat? Is it allowed for the wife to give her husband? Yes, and Allah knows best. It's allowed for the wife to give the husband the zakat because it's not an obligation for the woman to spend on the man, on her husband. It's not an obligation, even if the husband is poor, even if the husband is needy, and he does not have anything, and the wife is rich and wealthy. It's not an obligation for her to spend on him. It's not an obligation for her to spend on him. He's poor, and she could be nice. We hope that she would. Well, we're talking about the obligations. Again, what are we talking about? Obligations. Zakat is an obligation. So it's one thing to be courteous and to be nice and to be kind and to be from the muhsineen and to be a good doer, and it's another thing, fulfilling the obligation for the sake of Allah. So would it be considered fulfilling the obligation or not? Allah knows best. It would be considered. It's allowed for the woman to give her husband the zakat. Rather, he could be from the most rightful who deserve that. And from her, it's been narrated from Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu that the wife of Ibn Mas'ud, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he ordered the women to give charity, she said, "O Prophet of Allah, indeed you ordered us to give charity today, and I was going to give some jewelry that I had, and my husband Ibn Mas'ud, he said, the one who has the most right to your charity is me and my child, is me and my child. So is that true?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Sadaqa Ibn Mas'ud, he said, "Huwa ahaqu man tasaddaqti alayhi." So he is the one who has the most right for you to give your zakat to, the most right for you to give your charity to. And the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, what is intended here is the zakat. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to her and answered her and did not ask, is it obligatory or not obligatory? And did not ask, is it obligatory or not obligatory? So taqwa istifsal, yunazzalu manzilat al-umum. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not ask any details whenever she asked about this issue. He didn't say to her, is it obligatory charity or not obligatory charity? Is it obligatory charity or not obligatory charity? He didn't ask for details. Rather, he said, yes, he's the one who has the most right for you to give charity to. So then this fact that this situation occurred like this, and he did not seek details, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is understood from that is a general ruling. So that means that he's the most rightful for you to give your obligatory charity and not obligatory charity to. And if he's in need, if the husband is in need and the wife wants to give zakat or not obligatory charity, the one who has the most right to that is her own husband. It's her own husband, and Allah knows best. This narration is in Sahih al-Bukhari. There are a number of benefits that he mentioned about this. Sheikh Uthaymeen, this is his position, and likewise Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahumallahu ta'ala, and likewise this is the fatwa of Sheikh Suleiman al-Ruhayri, hafidhahullahu ta'ala. So now we have the eighth category, and that is al-mubtadi' wal-fasiq. Al-mubtadi' wal-fasiq. Is it allowed to give the innovator and the person who is a known sinner the zakat? The person who is a known sinner the zakat? The people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's preferable to not do this. If it's most likely or most probable that that individual, he's going to spend the money and the avenues of his evil, yani in his fujur, in his corruption, or in the path of his innovation and the likes like this, then one will not give them the zakat. Then one will not give them the zakat. And this is the case. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, وَمَّا الزَّكَاتُ فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ يَتَحَرَّى بِهَا الْمُسْتَحَقِينَ مِنَ الْفُقَرَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْغَارِمِينَ وَغَيْرِهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الدِّينِ الْمُتَابِعِينَ لِلشَّرِيَةِ الْمُتَابِعِينَ لِلشَّرِيَةِ. He said, rahimahullah, with regards to zakat, then it's incumbent for a person to pursue and to look for those people who deserve it, from the poor and the needy and from those who are in debt, and other than them, from the people of religion, from the people of deen, al-muttabi'een al-shari'ah, those who are following the legislation. And meaning from the people of deen, from the Muslims, but from the Muslims who? Al-muttabi'een al-shari'ah, those who are following the legislation. Because a lot of Muslims, they're Muslims, but they're not following the legislation properly. Like the fasiq and the mubtadi'. Like the fasiq and the mubtadi'. So a person, he will not look for them. He will look for others besides them to give his zakat to. To give his zakat to. He says, فَمَنْ أَظْهَرَ بِدْعَةً أَوْ فُجُورًا فَإِنَّهُ يَسْتَحِقُّ الْعُقُوبَ بِالْهَجْرِ وَغَيْرِهِ وَالْإِسْتِتَابَةِ فَكَيْفَ يُعَانُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. So as for the one who has displayed innovation or apparent open sin, he's known for that. He's known for innovation. He's known for sin. He said, this type of person here deserves to be punished. He deserves to be punished by boycotting or other than that. And likewise, it's required to order them to repent from that and to leave that. So how could you help him upon that? Any meaning a person, he smokes cigarettes, or a person, he's a drunk, or he's a drug addict. Whatever the case is, it's known that he's involved in sin. And if you give him the money, most likely he's going to use that yani on his path of sin. Or he's an innovator and the likes like this. He's an open innovator, known that he's upon a foul way in his religion, in his creed, in his methodology. We'll not help him upon that way. We'll not give him the zakat yani to help him upon that way, nor give him charity and the likes like that. So rather a person, he will look for those who are from the people of the Sunnah, from the people who are following the legislation properly, and from the people what's known from them as good. And with regards to any giving a person, yeah, he'll look for those who are known for piety and righteousness. But it's not a qualification that he's not a sinner. And all of us we sin. And if a person, he gave his zakat to somebody who has some sins with him and the likes like that, it would be accepted. But the point is to look for the people who are known and need to be further away from sin, and to be further away from disobedience. He'll look for the people that are upon khayr. So the point in the legislation of the zakat is to help the people upon obedience. Is a means to help the people and to aid the people upon the obedience of Allah. So this is the ones that he will look for. You look to give it to somebody that's going to help them to be obedient to Allah, and to be good upon the straight path. As for somebody who is upon sin and is known upon that, or he's upon innovation and he's known about that, he's upon sin and he's known for that, or he's upon innovation and he's known for that, they will not give him the money to help him. Rather, he will look for somebody who will want to help him to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is the reason for the legislation of the zakat in the first place. You need to al-ma'una ala ta'ati Allah Azza wa Jalla, to help the people be obedient to Allah. The ninth category is here al-jihad al-khayriya fi ghayri al-asnaf al-thamaniya. Al-jihad al-khayriya, the other charitable organizations or paths of goodness other than the eight avenues that have been mentioned before. For example, building masajid, or rectifying the streets, or for example, preparing the dead, or burying the dead, like this, the dead Muslims, and the likes like this, paying for the burial services. Or, for example, building places for education, or printing masahif, printing the Quran and distributing all of this right here. This is not allowed. It's not allowed to give zakat here. It's not allowed to give zakat in these avenues. It's not allowed to give the zakat to build a masjid or to fund a masjid. It's not allowed to give zakat to build a school for the Muslims, for example. It's not allowed to give zakat in order to buy a masahif and distribute them. It's not allowed to give zakat yani for these particular avenues. It's only allowed to give in those eight categories that have been mentioned, according to the details that have preceded. And these are the ones that it's allowed. As for the other avenues of goodness, then no doubt it's allowed to give charity, yani from the non-obligatory charity upon those ways to build masajid, or non-obligatory charity to build schools for the Muslims, or non-obligatory charity to distribute books and masahif. This is all good, alhamdulillah. But as for the zakat, la. The zakat can only be performed in the manner that had preceded, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. The people of knowledge, they mentioned likewise, that if somebody, he gave his zakat to the wrong person, it would not be accepted. He would have to go back and ask for it. He gave his zakat to somebody, come out to find out he's a disbeliever. He gave his zakat to somebody, come to find out he's a slave, for example. And come to find out that's not the case. That's not that he didn't do the proper research. And the likes like this, it would not be accepted. He's required to go back and ask for it. He's required to go back and ask for it. Tell him, Afwan, I gave you this the money I gave you was zakat. The money I gave you was zakat. And the likes like this, he made a mistake. He made a mistake. And that's the case except for in the situation of the one who's poor. If a person, he truly thought the individual was poor or needy and he deserved that and he gave it to him, and come to find out later that he was not, or he did not consider himself like that, then inshallah this one would be accepted. Because this is something that is hidden. Most of the time people know this man, he's a disbeliever. He's not a Muslim. That's something obvious. Or he's a slave. If somebody was a slave in a society, for example, these other issues here, they're apparent. They're apparent. Their situation. So this is kind of clear. As for whether the individual is poor or not, or whether he's needy or not, this is something that could be hidden. And maybe there are individuals, even amongst us now, that maybe we think that they're well off and they're in need. Others, maybe they're looking like they're needy, but they're well off. This is the case. Maybe they're dressed normally, or they're looking like maybe they're in need, but in reality they have lots of money, and they have their things suffice in a good way. So therefore, in this situation, it would be considered correct, and Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.